You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Iceland. Yeah.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome. Series 3, Episode 11 of Cawley's Call. Delighted to have you as usual. Lots of feedback from the last couple of weeks. You're enjoying the shows, which is good. And we've another fine guest with us this week. They keep on coming, Stu. They keep on coming.
Thanks,
and of course, the beautiful Stuart Byrne is here with me as well. People were enjoying your rants last week, Stuart.
Were they, yeah?
They actually were. I got some amount of texts. Seriously, people were saying...
Rants are a very important part of...
And it was a mix, right?
A
varied mix of
the
enjoyment and people. People actually were suggesting that you're losing your mind. So can we clear this up? Are you losing your mind?
No, that's the way I think. I think like that all the time.
So...
I'm very much... Very much... I'm pretty sick and tired of the kind of modern PC stuff. I can't do it anymore. So I think you just have to say what's on your mind sometimes. Like, and I know you can get you into a bit of trouble and all. Like, no, but it's
how you feel.
It's how you feel. Yeah, I do. Yeah, like no, I'm a big fan of Noel Gallagher. I think he's very good at that kind of stuff.
And, well, you know, what I love about you,
what are you looking at your phone for?
No, the results and stuff. Okay. What I was.
I do have a bit of madness now, and I will admit that there is a bit of madness there, like, you know. But I think that's important, like, you know, because this is a mad world we live in.
It is a mad world, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is.
Now, you're probably what I love about you, and I tell me close friends this, but for listeners, if you want to know why I love Stu, he's as straight as you'll get, no bullshit, straight down the middle, and you know where you stand, and that's why I love you, right? But I'll throw in the mix of the comments, and this isn't about from my point of view. I love you no matter what. But the comments were, one, he's losing his mind. The other one, he's deep. I says, yeah, he is deep. I am very deep.
Yeah. I actually, believe it or not, sometimes I do rant to stop me from going into a complete another manhole. I can be very deep. Yeah, I can be.
You are deep, yeah.
I am, yeah.
You care, which is the number one, which is we all care. But yeah, that was kind of, there was a lot of feedback in there.
I don't mind, that's fine. No, that's good. I think it comes from caring. Like, and even when I lost the plot with Stephen Kenny, I wasn't meant to be at him personally. It was me basically saying, this has been the shittest year of our lives. And to be quite honest, now that I look back at it, it's still the shittest year of our lives. And we've just gone and won a league title. I haven't been paid in 6 weeks.
That's incredible.
I'm broke, but yeah, that's what it was like, you know. So it was my way. At that stage, the whole Shells thing had sort of gotten under my skin a little bit, because, you know, people were, and also because I had had a pretty bizarre 2 or 3 weeks. Nuala was pregnant on Sky, our second child, and she had gone over, she was overdue, and I had to drive to the games we had Sligo away, Cork away, somewhere else, and Bowes at home. I had to drive to Cork. I had to leave late and get there, and literally once the game was over and I was driving home, I was on the phone saying, yeah, okay, you know, anything happening, that kind of stuff. Drove to Cork, the same thing. So I was a little bit detached from the team, a little bit that way, like, you know. So, and Pat was great about it, like, you know. At that stage, I don't know, because of the whole situation with finances, Pat just says, like, just fuck it, like, you know.
He wasn't really in a position to say it.
Yeah, I can't really say it. Yeah. Like, no, he's come to the team, like, by the way, yeah, you haven't been paying too. But, so I was a little bit all over the shop, but Nuala had gave birth to Sky 4 days before the Bowes game. So there was this relief I said, thank God. Like, because I thought I was, you know, it was worrying as well. There was things happening where it's getting worrying as well. So that was off the table, and we were, you know, going into the last game of the season, it was all win or nothing. That was, so I felt like the shackles were off me a little bit, like, you know, and yeah.
So that was building up inside you for those 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, and longer, it was building up for the whole season. Now, if we hadn't won, I wouldn't have said a dicky bird.
Would you not?
No way. Wouldn't have said a thing. That was it. So it was just because we won, I had to basically.
But did you have it? Kind of, was it preempted in your head that?
Oh yeah, so I had said to Owen.
You knew if we win, you're letting rip.
So what happened was, I had said to Owen here.
Because just before that, sorry, I'll just train on top of all the mixture of comments last week about your rants. So much of it came back to this. He's angry.
Well, I know that. All that stuff.
Yeah, and that does throw itself.
I've had to live with that. I've nothing I can do about that. Like, but I get
it's
it.
Funny,
you
yeah.
know, I do get it. Like, you know.
But that's so. Carry on.
So yeah, that's what happened. So on the Wednesday, this got back to us about Stephen. Sort of, you know, he'd been onto the Bose players and all like that. And I lost the fucking plot. I did. I said, what the fuck is he doing? He's the Derry City manager. He's going to Dunfermline, which was announced 5 weeks ago, and it's like he's getting onto the ball player, and it just all sort of, like, you know, a trigger went in my head. So I remember I said to Owen, I says, if you get fucking interviewed after the game and you have a goal, like, you have a fucking pop, like, you know, just, you know.
And was Owen going as well?
I don't know, actually. He probably wouldn't.
He probably said he was. Oh yeah, it's true. And when it came to it, not
he told him, see that fucking he lost the plot. So the only reason I said that was because I got man of the match. That was it. End of story. I wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, like, you didn't seek Tony out, like, or anything after the match.
No, so I got ushered over to Tony. When I got over there, Pat had been talking, and Pat was brilliant. Pat did the graceful thing.
Yeah.
To be honest, I said, fucking, that's it. I just had to let loose, you know. And that was it. The rest is history.
The rest is history. Well, look, that's what you live and die by, Stu, and that's why we love you. But speaking of Shelburne and Tolka Park, there was obviously games last night which we're going to review, but we were both in Tolka Park on Friday night, and there's been question marks about Shelburne and Damien Duff's team, and obviously it's a new team, as we keep saying, but they have been on a bad run of form, and I think their last five before Friday was 4 defeats and a draw. Or sorry, was it the win? But anyway, they were on a bad run of form. But going into the game Friday night, I fancied them, and they came up trumps. They played really, really well.
They were very good, weren't they?
Very, very good. Probably the best I've seen them. Now, Sligo were very poor, and we'll come to them. But for the first time, because obviously they've been playing with A. Dervin and Coyle, who were very similar, like-for-like players in terms of that dogged kind of nature in midfield. But the fact that he played J.J. Lunny.
I do agree with you on this, yeah. Yeah.
Do you? Totally.
Yeah. He has that composure.
He was brilliant.
Discipline. He won't.
Well, it's a nice balance with personnel. Because you had Coyle doing all that stuff, sitting in front of the... And you had J.J. getting on a plane. I thought he was excellent now.
Yeah.
He came off after about an hour, but for that hour, I thought he was the best player in the pitch.
To be fair to him, he was actually very good when he came on against Bowes, even though the game... The balls were out of sight at the time, but like you could tell straight away he's gonna give them something, a little bit of composure, just something different. That's all. What he does very well is he's quite disciplined in his positional sense. He doesn't sort of go off into different spaces. He kind of stays quite central.
Because Dervin can be running
with
and
energy
all over.
You know,
the place,
he's a lad with energy. You know, and Coyle will be the same energy. So they need to kind of, you know, get close and close down, and that's fine. But he definitely gave them a better balance.
I thought he was very, very good, and the lad Farrell on the right. So between the three of them there, there was a far better shape in terms of the midfield.
He had to, well, isn't it hilarious you mentioned that he had to go off early against Bowes as well, and at the time, Selton and Liam Burt looked like they were going to have a right little ding dong at each other. He had to go off early with injury, and so it's interesting you said that. But the goals, Al, the quality about the two goals were.
Well, then we get to, that's the midfield area where I felt as that was the big difference for me in terms of there was a far better balance, and they played probably the best football they've played all season. There was actually a lot of football played because people have been critical of the fact that there hasn't been. But then you get to Moylan and Sean Boyd, who I thought were excellent. Boyd won all his headers. Moylan gives you that bit of quality as well. I know he's a young player, but as you said, two great goals. I know it came from a couple of mistakes from Sligo, but brilliant finishes.
The quality of the finish was out. And that's actually kind of what's been missing a little bit from them. Like, you know, when you take take the first game of the season, the Pats game, first half. There's nothing in the game, Al, with the exception of a fantastic strike from Burns. That's there's nothing in it. So big difference for Shells the other night was that they went 1-0 up, and not only did they go 1-0 up, they went 2-0 up, which I think just gave them a little bit of a breather. You know, they weren't, if they had been 1-0 up, you know, sometimes you can be nervous when you're 1-0 up and you're thinking, let's hold on to this lead. But to get the two goals and the quality of the goals, to be fair to Sligo, they can't look. I think you're going to expect them, they're going to come back at them, but they held out. No, and it's a little monkey off their back a bit. You know, that's the home, the first home game of the season.
Conor Kane mentioned that he was another one that played really well. So hopefully, look, Shelburne will be looking to build on that. I thought they were very, very good. As you say, Sligo Rovers were poor. We're going to come to them when we probably review the games last night, because they obviously got beat again last night. They're on a bad run of form, let's just say, points out of the last 24. Just making changes, for me, I don't understand the amount of changes every week with the team. There's no continuity in the team selection. They don't even look fit at times, some of the players as well, and it was just a poor performance. But one player who started off his days at Shelburne, Stu, and is doing very, very well for himself now, extremely well for himself, and things got a whole host better for him Sunday in making his first team debut with Blackburn Rovers, is Mr. James Brown. James, how are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
I'm good, James, I'm good. You're very welcome to the show.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
No problem. Stewie's here with me as well, and I mentioned there that obviously a major debut, James. People will know you most for particularly the season you had last year in the Premier Division with Drogheda. You came to everyone's kind of notice in just how impressive you were in the games. We actually covered a game very early in the season. Do you remember that, Stu? We were up in Derry, and Jimmy, can we call you Jimmy for the purpose of this interview?
Yeah.
Do you prefer Jimmy because of the James Brown thing, is it?
No, it just kind of stuck years ago, but I think, you know, journalists are getting mixed up and stuff like that as well, so it's stuck with everyone, really.
All right, we're going with Jimmy, but yeah, that was the first night, really, I think you came to everyone's notice in terms of, I suppose, the step up from the First Division and then playing in the Premier. You're absolutely outstanding in the Brandywell. We both gave you man of the match, but we're blaming Pat Fenlon as to why he didn't that night, Jimmy. But as you say, you went on to do great things for the season with Drogheda, and of course, you got your move, and all that hard work paid off at the weekend when you made your debut.
Yeah, it's been a mad 18 months, really. Especially getting up to the Premier, first of all, like, you know, we're in the fourth division, and by the skin of our teeth, we got up just the last day of the season. So I think when we got up there, you know, we obviously had a good game down in Derry myself, but the whole team really just flourished in the Premier, I think. A lot of players stood out, and I think we all really enjoyed it, and I think that's how players like myself that depend on other players, really, I wouldn't be, you know, dribbling past three or four players that would rely heavily on my teammates to slip me in and stuff like that. So I think everyone just kind of flourished in the Premier, and then, you know, we had a really good season, a bit of a mad season as well. We were going for Europe at one stage and then barely stayed up, so it was a bit mad how it happened, but yes, eventually then got the move over, and I made my debut there the other day, so it's been a hectic 18 months, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been a whirlwind for you, as you say, and brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and fully deserved as well. Before we get to the whole Blackburn thing, Jimmy, we'll just take a little step back. You obviously were with Shells. Kevin Doherty, I think, signed you for Shells, was it? And then when Kevin went to Drogheda, he took you with him to Drogheda as well. Was that the path?
Yeah, so Kev, I was with the 19s at Shells, and Kev gave me debut. He gave me debut against Ipswich, actually. I was only 16, and he put me on left back. I think Ryan Fraser was playing. I didn't even know where the dressing rooms were in Talca that day, fourth day of Talca. So he threw me in at the deep end. But yeah, he signed me, and then, you know, I didn't really break in that year. But when I was 17, 18, here he was there. Then I made my league debut and stuff. But I played here and there. I had a good season, and then kind of fell off halfway through the next season. And luckily, Kev took me at Drogheda. So, I'm grateful for that as well, for giving them opportunities at both clubs, like, you know.
Yeah, look, you have to be grateful for the opportunities you get. It's up to you then afterwards whether you take them or not, and you obviously have. But just in terms of, there's a lot of talk nowadays about pathways and young lads to go to England, and the old school way, I suppose, was lads going away 14, 15, 16. We've had many discussions on the show about this, James, with all different people who have gone all different routes. But just say, for example, yourself, who we all know the path you've taken now, as you say, with Shell's underage and then making your debut, playing in the first division with Drogheda, then having a season in the Premier, and now you find yourself in the first team at Blackburn. Was it difficult for you maybe years ago, because I know it was before Brexit when you would have been still 15, 16, 17, and maybe teammates of yours were going away, but you weren't finding that opportunity. So has the road been a bit harder for you, or have you kind of liked the way your path has gone?
A bit of both, really. You know, at the time, obviously, it's difficult as a kid. You see people signing for these clubs, and you know, it is a bit kind of heartbreaking. I went on trials myself and not got, like, you know, any further than a trial, really. So it is tough as a kid, but looking back now at the age I am now, like, I think it's just bonkers, like, going over at that age. You know, I know the Brexit thing now, you have to be 18 and stuff like that going over, but it's funny you say that. Me and Darryl Lennon were only chatting about the other day. He went over when he was 15 and he's successful with it, but the amount of players that fall off, like, at you know, come back 17, 18. It's just crazy. And I know for a fact, if I went over at that age, I definitely would have been back. It's just, you're still a kid, you're not mature. And the amount I've learned in the League of Ireland, it's crazy. Like, you know, playing with adults. It's funny, I was only looking back at a picture there, the team we had when I was playing under Harry. And if you could add like three or four ages up in the team of players, it totaled to about 150. The age of the lads, I was looking over 35 team. They had likes of Dane Delaney, Alan Bourne, all these lads, Derek Prendon. The guys, and like at the time, I was thinking, how are these lads getting a career out of the game? Like, some of them couldn't even kick snow off a rope, like, you know. But the stuff you learn off them, they won't like me saying that, but the stuff you learn off them, it's just unbelievable. And you don't realize that until you get older, how like they manage you through games and they stand you in such good stead, like, you know.
I used to be like that with Stewie Jimmy.
I can only imagine.
That's interesting, Jimmy. I genuinely felt like that when I came through at 18 at Bowes. Yeah, not one of the players were under 30. It was very frustrating. But I think I remember had a very couple of frustrating years that eventually came to blows with Darren McKeeley once, where he fucking hauled me off at halftime because I was having a blazing row with him over it. And do you know what? I said to myself, I was wrong. I said, I'm wrong here. I need to just suck it up and like I said last week, give myself a kick in the hole and get back on the horse again.
Yeah, the old pros, and that's exactly where, as Jimmy says, you learn obviously off all those fellas as well, and I'm sure that's the same for everyone. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Jimmy, because I went away young and I would have been, that was the route then, and as you say, it was the norm, but I was always of the view that would have been, look, that was the norm, as I say, for a lot of lads, whereas it's so good now that we do have the national leagues. And I have very much flip-flopped in the sense that if you've the opportunity to stay here and maybe go over a bit later, 19, 20, 21, like what Jimmy has done, cut your teeth in the league, play 50 games, 100 games. I think the stats prove now, like, you go through the lads, Sean Maguire, as you said there, yourself, Jimmy, Kevin Doyle, Shane Long, all the lads that have kind of done that, Seamus Coleman, the success rate, I'd say, is far better. And for anybody, parents listening now, because there's a lot of lads that maybe are starting out in their journeys, 14, 15, 16, playing National League. And now there's a huge opportunity for lads to actually make a career for themselves here, still with the opportunity going across the water.
Yeah, 100%. Now, obviously, at the same time, if you get an opportunity, it is hard to turn down at the time. But like you said, you have to look at the players that have done it, that have stayed and got a lot of experience. Like, you know, it's even for myself, like I've come over and I've had to play 23s football just to get a bit fit and stuff. But it's just no comparison to the League of Ireland. And some people might laugh at that, like, I'm playing Premier League 23s. But yeah, it's technically better, but like, it's just nothing games, you know. You're playing in important games. You're playing in Dublin derbies, you know, loud derbies, and games that matter, and lads playing for their careers, like, you know. It's just, yeah, it's bonkers going over very young. I think, like, for anyone, you can try stay as long as possible. Obviously, to a certain age, you don't want to, you know, be gone too late, but it's just timing, really, isn't it?
Tell me this, Jimmy. Now, let look at the day-to-day stuff. Can you cook? I know it might be a silly, but genuinely, can you cook for yourself, or is that something that you do for yourself? Are you living on your own? Like, talk to us maybe a little bit about the kind of things that you do now that you would have struggled with 6 years ago.
6 months ago, you mean?
You've done a YouTube course, did you learn how to cook?
Yeah. The fire alarm's been off, I don't know how many times.
I remember Forrest saying the same thing as well.
I'm a bit of a mammy's boy, yeah, but I think I've moved away at the right time. But like, yeah, like things like that, like, you know, it's just, it's you need to be mature going over, and like, not even the cooking side, but like, just the long evenings, like, you know, you can easily slip into bad habits, and yeah, like, I'm going 24 now in the summer, and sometimes I get a bit lonely and down and stuff like that. So I can only imagine what you're like 15, 16. You know, it's just madness. Like, I definitely wouldn't have stayed over here if I went over at that age anyways.
And is it the case that, like, psychologically now, if you've got time on your hands, you know, you're mature enough to say, I need to do something here, I can't sit around. Whereas when you were younger, you would, you know, you're struggling to kind of fill time because you haven't got that maturity.
Yeah, exactly. And then little things like, you know, if you have a bad day of training, or you have a bad week, or, you know, someone's on your back, like, you can go into your shell if you're younger. Where, like, as I said, like, when I was 17, 18, I was playing with lads that were tearing the head off me. You know, I was getting, here he was on my case nearly every day of the week. And at the time, I thought it was so harsh, but it stood me in good stead, like, you know. And it's just maturity, really. You know, you go through the years and you learn little things, how to deal with certain situations and stuff like that, you know.
Well, you never would have got a better education than with Owen Heary. Owen Heary was, look, Stewie's best friend. I played with him for a year behind me, and he used to literally light your arse up, you would. He was just unbelievable in terms of non-stop, brilliant player.
I'd say he would have liked you, Jimmy. You would have been very similar
to him. And you were very similar to him, Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah, well, not the hair anyways, but
you're better looking than him.
Yeah. We're all better looking than him.
No, he was really good for me, to be fair. And, you know, especially the fact that he was in my position, I think that's why he was on my case so much. But, you know, I appreciate the opportunity he gave me and what I've learned off him as well. I couldn't really ask for a better person to manage me at the time, like, you know.
Absolutely, because, well, look, I've said it on numerous times, Owen, for me, was the best player in the league, just in terms of what he gives you and training. So to be learning off him, it's no coincidence to see you go on. But again, it's up to you after that, Jimmy. And just your year in the Premier Division with Drogheda, how much of a difference did you find that, say, from... Because a lot of people now, we're speaking and looking at Kev with Drogheda, managing them now, UCD. I don't know if people realise the step up from the First Division to the Premier Division. Now, I know you took to it like a duck to water, but in terms of, that's because he had a decent team as well, but it is a big step up.
Yeah, massively. I think, like, a lot of professionalism as well. I was lucky that, you know, when we got promoted, Tim and Kev made some really good signings like Gary Deegan and Dan O'Reilly, Darren Markey. Like, I was carpooling with some of these lads, and just even looking at them, now I look after myself, obviously, but looking at these lads and how serious they take it, you know, it's a different level altogether. I think professionalism is a big one, you know, with the standard as well. Like, but yeah, it is a big step up, and you have to kind of be ready for it. You can't just, you know, go through emotions. Where there's some games in the First Division, no disrespect to some certain clubs, like, but you know you're going to get 3 points. Where if you're a team coming up, it's massive, and every game's really a cup final.
So when did the whole Blackburn thing come about then, Jimmy? I know you were obviously out of contract. There was a lot of interest here from clubs. I think Pat's, because obviously Tim going there as well. You went over on trial initially, was it?
Yeah, went over for 3 days. I wasn't really going to go over, to be honest with you. I had a lot of people kind of saying, you know, it's a bit disrespectful, a trial at 23, which, you know, I understand that as well. And I was thinking him and Hahn, and, like, you know, it's a bit, as I said, disrespectful. But, well, yeah,
sorry,
3 days went over.
Sorry there, Jim. Yeah, what was your view on that? You mentioned people were saying that, but who would have been the people you would have listened to and given you the good advice?
Parents, really. I've had managers. I've had a few clubs trying to sign me, obviously, after the season. I had a few options. That's why I was waiting so long. And I've had managers, and I was almost listening to them. You know, they were saying stay, and if you stay another year, as you said, like, you know, stay a bit longer, get more appearances, you'll get offered a longer contract and stuff like that. If you know, because at the time I was getting offered a 6 month after I went over. And then, you know, you can't listen to the wrong people. And that's, I know, like, a lot of agencies are big in the game now, and it's important as well for, like, who's representing you to give you good advice. But mostly parents, really, and my own gut feeling, because everyone has different views on it, you know.
You strike me, Jimmy, as a strike me as someone who plays with no fear. Like, you seem to me to be a personality that doesn't overthink things. And I don't know whether that was a factor, was it? Like, you know, when you might have had people in your ear, but you kind of said, you know what have I got to lose?
Well, you seem to me, Jimmy, like, very determined. So whether it was 3 days or 3 months, you were going to make the most of it.
Yeah, 100%. I just felt like you said, Shuey, just, like, there's nothing to lose, really. Yeah. You know, going over, and what's the worst that'll happen? I'm training in a facility that's unbelievable, 3 days, and I can always say that I trained with a championship club, like, you know. So I didn't really see the down points in it, where, you know, obviously there's a deadline and managers want people to sign. You know, Tim was probably one of them. He was on my case big time to try put pen to paper for passes, and same with Kev. But they all to be happy for you in the end, like, you know. But yeah, 3 days, I just said, look, why not, you know? And thankfully I did.
And in terms of Jimmy, then we spoke about the step up, maybe from you're going Shells, then Drogheda, then there's Drogheda up into the Premier Division. The step up from the Premier Division to Championship level, playing at that kind of, with that those quality players day in, day out, Tony Mowbray, brilliant experienced manager. How did you kind of adjust to it? We had Georgie Kelly on last week and he was at Rotherham and everybody speaks glowingly of Georgie, but he said he adjusted and found it really, really difficult at the start. But for yourself at even a higher level with Blackburn in the Championship, how did you find it?
Funny enough now, obviously technically, like, you know, they're a lot better and stuff like that, and you can't make as much mistakes, but mentally I found it, you know, a bit challenging. Like, I'm going from, like, you know, being the main man at Drogheda. I felt $1 million like every game. We thought, you know, he's one of the best players in the league, and I was far from it, like, you know. But that's just the mindset I had, where I was going to just playing the 23s game, and then, you know, I was fit, and the come March, April, I was, you know, he was putting left backs, right backs, and wingers, right backs, and, you know, it was tough mentally, I think, more than that. And then obviously I dealt with them situations, but he's been honest with me and he's kind of kept me going, Tony Mowbray himself. But physically and, like, you know, I felt okay. It's just obviously, you know, technically I needed improve on some stuff, crossing and retention of the ball. And you can stay all night if you want to, you know, out in the training ground to help you with that. But I think mentally it was just a bit more of a challenge because you're going from one height to the other. Like, you know, you're going to from cloud nine down to the bottom, like, really, some days.
And in terms of that, Jimmy, then, as you said, it was deflating that you might see a right winger playing right full and you're thinking, when am I going to get my opportunity or whatever. You mentioned the word honesty there. Like, how important is that? Because the one thing, the managers I had the most respect for was the ones who were honest with you. And if that meant even giving you bollocking or saying something you didn't want to hear, you wanted honesty. So just in terms of Tony Mowbray being like that with you, obviously he signed you, but the fact that he was so honest with you as well, I'm sure that gave you a great kind of reassurance.
Yeah, like, you probably know yourselves, like, it's rare in football, honestly, and that's what, you know, I respect him so much for that, because there was cases where, like, I was getting down, I was going in chatting to him off my own back, and then he was pulling me in the other days, like, you know, off his own back as well, and telling me what I need to work on and why he's made this decision, and that kind of kept me going, to be honest with you. I think everyone else kind of says the same about him. He's a real honest man, so that's what kept me going, and he kind of got me through to me debut there the other day, because, you know, my head wasn't really in the best of places, and people might say that's a bit crazy, like, you know, you're over in the Championship, you made a big step up and stuff like that, all well and good, but you want to be playing games. And I think, you know, he's made me feel a lot more comfortable than I was in recent weeks, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a real cutthroat industry, and that's what people have to realise, and the fact that he is so honest with you. There's the human side as well, Jimmy, that's so important. Like, it doesn't matter if you're playing for Barcelona or you're playing for Drogheda, there's the human side of it, and at the end of the day we're all humans and you want to just be treated well and treated respectfully, which isn't always the case in football. But there was that interview that went all over social media, obviously, a couple of weeks back, where he spoke so honestly. He seems like a really, really decent man.
Yeah, he is, to be fair. You know, he let you know when you're not doing stuff right as well, don't get me wrong, but he is a really nice fella, and, you know, he is old school and stuff like that, and people might say that about him, but yeah, like, you look at that interview and that kind of brings out his true colours, like, you know. Just about everything, like, with life in general, like you said, just outside of football, you know, you can chat to him about anything and stuff like that. So, look, I don't know what's going to happen next year, but, you know, like, I would like him to be here, but it doesn't look that way. But the opportunity that he gave me today, I even said it to him, you know, I'm extremely grateful for him. If he goes on to do, you know, whatever, I wish him the best, because he's a good fella, like, you know.
I think that's so important as well, Jimmy, and so decent of him. The fact that he had signed you, he spoke to you, even when times were thinking you were getting your chance and it wasn't coming, he was still so honest with you. And the fact that he gave you his debut with him leaving, I think puts you in such a great position, because if he had to leave and you didn't get your debut, new manager comes in, you know yourself, your face might not fit, whatever, a manager with different views, it puts you in a whole different category. I think the fact that you've played in the first team now, even if Tony Mowbray leaves.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that's, you know, he said it to me. To be fair, a few months ago, he was going to put me on. I was stripped on. I was stripped, ready to get on. And one of the lads missed a penalty. I was told to sit down. So he's just apologised for me the other day as well, that he couldn't get me on earlier in the season. But I have to realise as well, they're trying to get into the Premier League, like, you know, there's a lot at stake. And then, you know, he spoke to me there 2 or 3 weeks ago. They were still, you know, fighting for playoffs, and he said, if there's nothing to fight for, I'll definitely put you in the last 2 games or 3 games. Now, it just happened to be the last game, obviously, but like that, you know, he didn't have to do it. He could have just tried to play out a fully strong side and finish his time at Blackburn on a high, like, you know, but he gave me the opportunity, and that's just kind of the fella he is, like, you know. So again, I'm grateful for it, you know.
And how are you feeling about it now, Jimmy? What's the next few weeks hold for you? Is it a break, or, you know, you're probably a little bit missing it now, because obviously it's you know, when are you back? When's pre-season starting again?
It's the 20th, but they you can head in early if you want. They do sessions in the club and stuff like that, but I'll take a break. I'll need a week or two, because, to be fair, when we finished the League of Ireland season, I just kept trying to stay fit, because I knew I was going over and stuff. So I've been 18 months really flat out. So I'll take a week or two and then get back on it. But I want to be as sharp as possible for pre-season, like, you know.
Brilliant, Jim. Yeah, you need a break. We're absolutely delighted for you over here. It was great to see you making your debut at the weekend. And you're more than welcome to join us on this show anytime you want.
Cheers, lads. I appreciate that. Okay. Thanks very much.
Jimmy, listen, best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Best of luck, Jimmy.
Cheers. Same goes. Cheers, lads. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Brilliant, Stu. A young Owen Heary. Better looking.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that, because I was just thinking he'd be right up Owen Street. Exactly. Like, you know, just played no fear, just energy. You know, I've often said this. If ever I went into management or coaching, the first thing I would do would get two fullbacks that literally just exactly like him. So just because I just think they make the difference. Like, you know, you look at Dani Alves, or oh god, if you go down the list of all the great fullbacks, they cause havoc for opposition teams, you know. They just,
well, it's the modern way,
you know,
isn't it? The
fullbacks. But it's amazing that it is the modern way. Yeah. But I suppose
influential.
I grew
fullbacks.
Up with that. I just felt that's the way to play. That's,
well, Owen was ahead of his time, really. Like, when you look at them now, and to be fair, Liverpool are the standouts with Trent and Robertson and whatever. But Jimmy, that game in particular, we go back to, I think it was the first night. Remember, we were in Drogheda and Derry.
Yeah,
he was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. Yeah, fantastic. And just 90 minutes, just kept going. Just caused all sorts of issues. But it's I love that trait in the player, that sort of, you know. Whereby the opportunity came up to go over for 3 days, a lot of people would maybe have said no, it shouldn't be, you know, wait or whatever the case may be. But there's just, I'll go for it. You know, I've confidence in my own ability.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that say that for a club to say we'll offer you a trial, it's almost a kind of, we're so defensive on that. Like, we are very defensive. League of Ireland folk are very defensive on stuff like that, and instead of saying, look, it's an opportunity from Championship club, they're saying, oh well, he's been playing all season, why don't you come and watch him in a game?
Yeah, but it's not just a football thing, Alan. Like, I mean, you know, even when you finish your football career and you have to go back into, you know, the workplace. It was quite a common thing to maybe go in somewhere for you know, I hate to say it, work for free, but just show them what you have, like, you know, or you know, don't be afraid to kind of just get in there and say, hey, look, I can learn quick, or whatever the case may be. Like, it's a great trait to have. You know, it'll hold you in good stead. You're always going to hit obstacles in this world, and you're always going to have to, some stage or at stages in your life, say, roll up the sleeves and say, no, just get stuck in, like, you know.
There was other games, obviously, Stu, Friday night. Derry drew 1-1 with Bowes, 2 points dropped, they may say, but good result for Bowes. Dubious penalty as well. Some of the officiating over the weekend leaves a lot to be desired. Drogheda got beat 4-0, but again, officiating, there was a goal. St. Pat's own Doyle was offside when the game was in the balance at 1-0, but that's a heavy defeat for Drogheda. Shelburne, we obviously spoke about that. UCD came back 2-2, Stu. Dundalk slipped up massively there. They were 2-0 up, had a man sent off, Andy Boyle. UCD came back into it. Whelan getting the goals as well, 2-2. And Shamrock Rovers have had a great weekend, Stu. The 1-3-1 Friday night, Jack with an unbelievable ball for an assist. And then last night they followed up with a brilliant victory against Sligo Rovers. Again, 3-1. Burke coming on, getting a hat-trick. And it just goes to show the quality, I suppose, that they have. And for me, Derry slipped up again last night, but was it a slip up? They're playing St. Pat's. It's maybe not a bad result at home, but
they should have won the game.
They should have. We're all over them in the chances.
Didn't have a chance in 77 minutes.
But just in terms of Shamrock Rovers and the form they're in at the moment, I think that's 9 unbeaten now, 6 wins and 3 draws. it's looking ominous for the rest.
Yeah, it's been a great week for Rovers in all respects. Obviously, with Stephen deciding to stay, which would have given the club a big.
Were you
lift.
Surprised with that?
Well, I said last week I think he should stay, and I genuinely think he looked at it and said, "No, I
thought he was gone, Shu."
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, 10 years ago, I think this would have happened, you know, and it can be. You look at where he's coming from. Like, Rovers are a well-run club. Mm. The stadium is a fantastic facility. I still think it's the European thing. I think if you're a coach with big ambitions, you're not going to get a better opportunity than to be manager Shamrock Rovers going into a European campaign where you really do have an opportunity to get into the group stages of a European competition. And then you look at the highlights of the game last night, and what do you see behind the goal? The JCBs are in, they're ready to put that north stand in. I mean, the place is going to look fantastic. And so I think if he's to be tempted away, or any manager is to be tempted away from a club like Shamrock Rovers, I think it has to be fairly, you know, the deal has to be right. It has to be the right opportunity for your career. So I think he's got unfinished business there. I really do think that, like, you know, and maybe he felt this is his team. The club stood by him when times were difficult, and time to maybe repair a little bit.
Actually,
it's a good news story.
That's a great point, Stu, and it's something that I suppose hasn't been mentioned, but the club did stand by him when he was on his last legs. Yeah. Looked like he was struggling.
He's only 37 now.
Yeah, young, yeah, so young.
So young. Yeah. I mean, it's still very young.
And if that's in his thinking, I like that. I'm not, you know him better than me, but if that's maybe his view on it, if it was, I think that's a good thing, because that's something that's not really in the game, because it can be so ruthless. But the club did stand by him, and if he feels now as though I need to give back to them and whatever, and he has done obviously the last couple of years, not that he owes them anything, but he's been successful. But if he wants to stick around for another while, I think that's good.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Al, like, I think a lot of people will look at this and go, do you know what, I think he showed a lot of maturity in making that decision. Mm. And that holds you in good stead. People see that and they go, well, he's not going to just jump ship for the sake of it. And I mean, look, when I get to 37, I think I'd probably make the same decision, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Stu, it's a short and snappy show this week, but obviously there's games at the weekend, massive games as well, and of course no bigger than Shamrock Rovers against Derry. For the first time in the season, Shamrock Rovers have jumped ahead now. They're top of the league. As I say, is it going to be just, are they going to take off from here, or can you see Derry... Derry played very well against Pats.
I can see Derry sticking with them. Okay, I do. Just by the way they're playing Derry, very impressive against Pats. Very impressive last night. And when you have when Rory came out and said, I've no qualms really. I thought we were excellent. Mm. We just didn't put the ball in the back of the net. They've hit the bar. McElhenney smashed one against the bar. They might have been a little bit rash maybe in the first half with a couple of the chances they had. A little bit snatchy, but by all means, they dominated the game. Mm. So I think we're really now, look, we all hope we're going to see a Rovers Derry go at it now between now and the end of the season. Funnily enough, if I was to compare the Rovers and Derry situation now to maybe the Rovers and Pat situation last year, I think Derry now this year look better to go the full length of the season. Yeah.
Perfect. There's huge games at the bottom as well. Shelburne would be looking to obviously keep their good form going from the win last week, Stu. They're at home to Drogheda. That's a massive game.
That's a big game.
And Finn Harps are at home to UCD. Another big game. So they're the games that are huge down the bottom. It's not just about the top teams this weekend. And of course, Sligo are playing Pats on Saturday night. I'll be going to that. So that was episode 11, Stu. I enjoyed that. James Brown, Jimmy Brown, great lad. And he's going to go on, because he has the right attitude. He'll go on to do bigger and better things, I feel, no matter who the manager of Blackburn Rovers is. So good luck to him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Paul Morris as well, and also to Benetti Menswear, our sponsors. As always, thank you. Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.